Thank you for coming. I think you've heard of this site called Facebook. Are you familiar with it? So I am going to talk about some aspects of it, which may sound surprising. This idea of catfishing, although in class earlier, all the students seemed to know the MTV show about catfishing. So this is going to be some of my experience with this world. And many people, when I tell them what I will tell you, they seem shocked. And they're like, why doesn't Facebook do anything about this? So I have some theories. But and we go on Facebook and use sites like LinkedIn, obviously, to meet people. And so one of the questions which you may or may not think about, and because it may not happen to you, is if I meet someone on one of these social networks, how do I know who they are? So like, how do you know that I have any credibility? You don't know me, right? And you don't know necessarily, I haven't shown you my identification. But what are some reasons why you might have some trust in me as a person? Not because I have a beautiful face or anything, but why would you believe that I am Alan Levine? Because I'm saying it. Okay.
In some ways, it's a matter of faith. In some way, I mean, faith in the internet.
Faith in the internet.
Having some doubts.
Antonio's having some doubts. So it is good. I mean, you don't want to have to like question everybody you know, but I think it is better to have some doubts. Also, there is the idea that because you know Antonio and Dorabelle and you trust them a lot because you know them, if they seem to trust me, that should be able to help you make some judgments about people you may not know, but you may know through them. So if you want, every time I do a talk, I will put all the links and sites that I mention on a URL. And if you miss this, I can give it later. But I decided to call, I've been calling Facebook Catfish Book, just because I think it's funny. So I'm going to introduce you to a couple people in social media. David Fredrickson, he lives in Virginia. He's got a LinkedIn account. He works for some kind of drilling company. There's this guy, Michael Hughes. He's a petroleum geologist for Chevron. He's very handsome. Michael actually, this woman sent me this picture that Michael sent her on a text message. And he says, I love you so much. My lovely wife was interesting because they were just kind of getting to know each other through social media. But that's very sweet. Gary Glower, he's a crane operator. He's from Kansas. He obviously, you know, likes children, so that's a good sign. I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
They're on Facebook, these people. Roddick Henderson, I guess he likes boats. He doesn't really have much information, but for some reason, Roddick has three different Facebook accounts with different pictures of ships. And then this guy, he became one of the most interesting people I saw on Facebook. Timothy Bostrom, he is from Scotland, and he posts a lot of messages on Facebook about his love of God and how real that love is. And so he actually has pictures of himself with horses out in Scotland. And you can see, like, people are responding to his photos. He's looking good, and he loves those Scotland. Thank you for sharing Scotland with us. Okay, so there's a little bit of a small problem if you haven't picked it up. David Fredrickson, that photo on his LinkedIn profile, that was a picture I took of myself in Iceland in 2008. Michael Hughes, this picture here, that's another picture I took of myself while hiking in 2008. 2008 seems to be a popular year. And one of the women who Michael met, she sent me all these pictures from his profile. And this is actually me in Belize. This is me with my friend Cole visiting Arizona. That's my Aunt Dorothy. Me traveling. I don't know who some of these people are, but there's a lot of pictures of me in this guy's file. So, Michael, he sent this picture with this lovely handwritten note to this woman in Germany. This is actually a photo of me at a workshop, and not with a note, but a silly drawing, because I was in a workshop about drawing in Vancouver in 2009. These are all my own photos. They're posted on my Flickr account. They have my name on them, etc. And then, of course, Timothy out there in Scotland. Well, actually, that was Iceland again. Those were the horses I was in Iceland watching after. And then Roddick and his boats. And his boats. Yeah, he's got three different accounts on Facebook.
Well, he's the same person.
Who is he? How many Roddick Hendersons can there be?
Oh, man.
So this is the world of catfishing. It's a paradise on Facebook. And so the question should be, why are people doing this? Why would they create these fake accounts? And it's not just Facebook. It's on LinkedIn. They work in Tinder. They're working in places. Because what they're trying to do, and this is very popularized, a lot of people are familiar with the TV show on MTV. That actually is based upon a documentary that came out before about this concept of catfishing. And in that documentary, I'm already forgetting Neil, the guy's name, he actually started befriending a woman, a young woman he got to know on Facebook. They did a lot of exchanges. Then they started talking on the phone. And then he was a filmmaker and he was in Colorado doing a project. And his friends are like, hey, we're driving back to New York. Let's stop in, I think, Minnesota and visit. So they actually went to visit this young woman he was becoming romantically interested in. But he started to have some questions because she was sending him music that she had recorded, and he had actually found that the song she recorded actually was recorded and posted online by someone else. So he started to have questions. And as it turns out, the young woman he supposedly was getting to know and talking to didn't exist. It was a fabrication of a middle-aged woman. So the word catfish comes from this line in the movie where they actually meet this woman and her husband, and they're actually not trying to scam him to steal money from him. She's just kind of a lonely person. She's got two sons who are physically disabled, and she's kind of doing this as a way to entertain herself, if you will, to invent these characters. But the her husband, he has this line at the end of the movie where he's talking about he works in the industry of shipping. And he says when they send these fish that they catch in Alaska, they send them in these large container ships to Japan while the fish are still alive. They found that the fish do better in these large containers if they throw a few catfish in, because there's something about the characters of catfish that kind of fool the other fish into thinking they're still in the ocean. So why people are doing this... I learned of it through a colleague, a professor in Canada named Alec Kouros. And he has a lot of pictures of himself with his kids on social media because he teaches education and he teaches about the value of openness. And he has been dealing with this at least since 2012. And he gets emails almost every day from some woman who says, I met someone online somewhere and I have been, you know, developing this relationship. They're asking me for money. I searched on their picture and I found yours instead. And so he has been deep in this idea of catfishing. So he has been writing about identity, love, and catfishing. So what is going on here? So these are not real people. And so they're creating these fake accounts. They're trying to find lonely people looking for partners online. And they spend months developing these relationships. At some point, they say, look, my ex-wife is hassling me do you mind loaning me some money? Or I'm ready to come see you, but I need help buying a plane ticket. Sometimes it's, I need to start a new business. And so eventually they get to some point where they're asking the victim to send the money. So this is kind of what's, it's called a, in the con game, it's a long con. These people spend a long time cultivating these fake relationships to make the other people believe that they're real, eventually to try to get some money from them. From what I understand, these are actually organized. These are not single like people just doing this. Sometimes they're single people as a prank, but there are organized syndicates. Unfortunately, and I don't want to characterize, a lot of them are in West Africa, in places where people are desperate. They have no jobs, and more or less, they've rationalized that in order to make some money, the best thing they can do is scam and steal. So they're highly organized. They're very good at this. Often their language is not good. Interestingly, I just came across this yesterday. I'm going to read this. Someone wrote a book in the 1880s about the same phenomenon going on with the telegraph. So this is not necessarily new, but the idea of faking identities through technology has been going on a long time. So I saw these pictures came, and I started getting some messages myself. At first, I was kind of flattered because Alec gets them every day, and I was like, and then it became interesting. So I did the thing that Facebook says you should do. There's a place where you can go into someone's account and you can report them. They don't allow you to say anything. You just say, I think this person is fake. And what I found is the first time I did this, I got this message back. They're like thanking me, but they say, we reviewed the profile. And it does not violate our community standards. So Facebook first says they're not going to do anything. Now, the reason for this, I don't use Facebook very much, so I don't have a lot of contacts, so maybe I'm not reliable. But I looked up. So if you go to the part on their community standards, it says people who join Facebook agree to use their authentic name and identity. You may not publish information of others without their consent. And to me, like, what these people did, they took my picture and are using it with a fake name on a fake identity. And in fact, when you go into Facebook help, it says, we don't allow accounts that pretend to be you or someone else or use my photos. So it seems pretty obvious. So the only way I found to get Facebook to respond is I would ask a lot of other people to report these accounts. And it took a while. And so I got a little frustrated, so I decided to write about it, and I posted a rather long thing on medium.com about this Timothy Boostrom and showing how here's the photo he used and here this is me, these exchanges with Facebook. Now, a lot of people responded, but Facebook didn't respond. So I decided I wasn't using Facebook that much, so I decided to make my profile picture the one a lot of them seem to use. And then I have a new album. So I document the fake profiles I see and my own photos that, you know, show that it's me and not them. I've been blogging about it on my own site. I like to make fun of Facebook. And then I was reported two of those Roderick Henderson accounts. And then I thought, because I think I'm funny, what if I added him as a friend and my picture pops up? Like, what is he going to think? Or who knows? Maybe it's a she. I don't know. It's a he. So I thought that was funny. Well, then I got this email. They reported me as a fraud and they disabled my account. They said, hi, Alan. And thanks, Facebook. I had no one I could respond to. You can't call Facebook on the phone. And you can't write to them. They have like a shield of communication that prevents you from asking them about this. So they asked for my ID. So first I sent them a scan of my passport and my driver's license, which is a little bit of a stretch. I blurred out all the information that they didn't need to see. They asked for just to show my face and that it was an official identification. Then they said they wanted more, so they actually, because you know it's easy to Photoshop a passport. I've done it before myself. that's another story. Not for scamming. So they asked me for a picture of myself holding my ID. And I'm sending this to Facebook. Like, not, you know, Joe at Facebook or Matt at Facebook. It's just Facebook. And it took them almost 2 weeks to reestablish my account. In the meantime, I sent a lot of snarky tweets and messages on Facebook. I do have some friends with some connections. So my friend Jonathan Worth is a photographer in the UK. One of his best friends is a writer named Cory Doctorow, who's a well-known science fiction writer. Cory runs a site called Boing Boing, which is one of the very, very popular sites on the internet. It gets read millions of times. They published a story on Boing Boing, you know, about this thing that's happened to both me and Alec. Got a little bit of response, but nothing from Facebook. And so I started wondering, like, how broken can Facebook be that these accounts were all created the same day with pictures of me with the same name? And how can they not, like, recognize the fact that those aren't real? Because Facebook makes this big deal about people having to use their real names and their real account. What's his name? What am I thinking of? Who's the guy who runs Facebook? Mark?
Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Zuckerberg. He's got this thing, like, he only wants people to have one identity. He doesn't believe in multiple identities, and that's the vision of Facebook. And so the thing about Facebook is, like, I wonder what happened if Timothy used that photo on his profile, if something else would have happened instead of me. That's Zuckerberg, if you didn't know. And the reason is, and you know this because sometimes you upload photos and Facebook automatically can identify it. It's kind of neat technology, and isn't it also kind of weird and creepy? You find it creepy, right? So, and Facebook tells you how they do this. They've got some technology running behind the scene. I just came across this. They've got some new technology going where they don't even need to see your face. I don't know how this works, but supposedly they can identify people without a face.
If it's facial recognition, it's sort of...
Well, we're getting into body recognition. I think it has to do with... It says that they can recognize posture and your surroundings if you take a picture in another place where you're in the same surroundings. And so my question is, like, Facebook has this ability where they can automatically recognize a picture. How could they not recognize all those three pictures uploaded by Roderick Henderson automatically right away and do something? And see, I don't know the answer. And I can make up, like, theories, but you can't talk to Facebook. I actually wrote as many influential people I can who I thought would have connections. No one knows anybody inside of Facebook that they can ask, hey, what's going on here? Maybe you do. And it gets even more bizarre. Yes?
Sorry, Alan. Now, these three fake identities are still there?
They're gone. They're gone. What I found is more recently, at the time, I don't like Facebook that much, so I didn't friend many people. And people were telling me it's easier to report them if we're friends. So Facebook is designed to make you do more things in Facebook. So the last time I saw some of these, when people reported them, if I was a friend connected with them on Facebook, when they reported them, they could say, this is a photo of my friend. And Facebook seemed to respond quicker to that. So if we are connected, Antonio, and you report someone, it has more weight than if we are not connected. For what that's worth. It gets really even more dark and mysterious. I've been told this by Alec, and I got an email from someone on YouTube. So there is this software that they can use called, this one's called ManyCam. There's a lot of these. When you go into Skype, if we talk on Skype, you have your camera on, I have my camera on. This software allows me to use, instead of a camera, a video source that is not the camera, but a file on my computer. So what some of these scammers do is, you know, we've been developing this relationship, not you and I, but and say, hey, let's Skype each other. So you Skype with what you think is me, but they've downloaded a video of me that they play back through Skype. The software can degrade the video so they can pretend it's a bad connection. But think how realistic it is if I've seen your picture and then you come on Skype and it looks like the same person in the picture and you're talking to me.
How if it's a video, a pre-recorded video, how can it answer questions or dialogue with the other?
The thing I don't know is if they just play the video with the audio or if they play the video and they use their own voice over top of it. But seeing someone's face on a video screen, and because both Alec and I teach a lot online, there's a lot of videos of us just talking to the screen. That is pretty sophisticated. And that would be easily fooled. So one of the things is, like, you know, and when I've told people about this, first of all, they're like, it sounds outlandish. Like, why would anybody do this? And the usual response is, well, did you report them? Thinking that Facebook actually has a very sophisticated system for dealing with this situation. Or, hey, this is terrible. Facebook should do something. Well, a lot of times we kind of want the big panda to protect us. And they're not really good at that. So I think it's better when people learn how to do things themselves, because the system won't always protect you. And so part of dealing with this is being informed. So Alec, who's dealing with this a lot, he's got a web page he just posted that has, like, when people send him, this is like all the information he has to tell them every time as to why, to explain this and some resources to what they can do. When you Skype with him, his name that shows up on Skype is, it's got Alec Kouros, in parentheses it says, I am the real Alec Kouros. If you need proof, contact me. Because people create fake Skype accounts with his picture on it. It's really evil. There are lots of groups on Facebook. This is victims of catfishing. People report their stories. Other people respond with suggestions and resources to help them. So it's kind of weird in Facebook that there's a community to fight something that's a problem with Facebook. One of the longest running sources is called romancescam.com. They're probably one of the greatest resources for finding out about this, things you can do, how you can investigate, and they have a large discussion forum. So sometimes people will send me, and what happens on these discussion forums is someone says, hey, I met this guy named Michael, he's got a picture of a guy named Alan, and other people will jump in and try to help investigate and help report it. So it's kind of a community response to this problem. This site has a couple things about some of the legal issues. So one of the questions is, like, well, shouldn't the FBI go after them? Well, there's a lot of jurisdiction problems because a lot of these people are operating outside the U.S. And so this has some specifics on some of the legality of what the law can or can't do. And so just because you've developed a relationship with someone who has a fake identity is not exactly something that can be prosecuted. There actually has to be some sort of exchange of money or something stolen. I did come across the state of Colorado actually has a different set of laws, and they've gone after some of these people who've scammed. But again, it's a whole different game when they're in a different country. And you can't even find these people. It's not like you can get their address or their phone number. They will operate behind firewalls that fake their IP address, so you don't know where their internet is coming from. Again, they're very sophisticated. So yeah, lots of proxies. So what I think is interesting, when I blogged about this, someone, Maria, replied. She says, I just got a message from Timothy Brustrom on Facebook. I took his photo and Googled him, and here I am. She found the blog post I wrote about this guy. So people are learning this way they can do investigation when they come across someone who they start to think is not who they seem. So, and this works. This is actually directly in Facebook, in Chrome. You can do this. I can't forget if you have to add an extension, but you can just right or control click on an image. You can do a Google search for that image. And it's not perfect. A lot of the times it won't come up with a match. It's not like Google is doing an exact match of that image. It's basically doing some matchings on the patterns in the images. So if the other image, and this one does exist, most of these are mine, but for a while it was showing up some fake accounts. I find maybe about 20% of the time Google can find a match for the image. It's not really searching every image on the internet. It's doing a pattern recognition between the colors and the shapes in the image, not the actual content of the image. There's another site called TinEye that does the same kind. It uses a different technology. It's called a reverse image search. So you can upload an image or put a URL for an image in there. 15% of the time I can find a match. But sometimes I've actually used this in a different situation where I had a student who was doing some work in my media class. And something they turned in for an assignment looked really different from the rest of their work. And so I was able to use this to actually find that they had taken someone else's photo and tried to pass it off as their own. So again, this is not perfect for finding images, but it's a tool that sometimes will get you to the answer. And so just before I left to come here, I had this exchange with a woman who contacted me, and she said, I met someone who I got very suspicious of. I think she was using Tinder. And so she actually sent me these screenshots of the conversation. And because she was already a little bit like cautious ahead of time, I really like her line of thinking. So she's in blue, and you can actually see that the person's using, you may not see, this is the picture of me in Iceland on his account in the chat here. And so, she's asking him, do you have any other photos? And he says, I have a lot. And she's like, why don't you add other pictures to your profile? And I'm only going to show all to that special one. They use psychology. That sounds good. LOL. She's like, where was this picture you taken? Inside's a friend office. Will you have any other pictures to share me? She says, okay. She's not going to put it on Tinder. We'll send it via text. So he puts a phone number in text. And so you might think, oh, he shared a phone number. She tries the phone number. It doesn't work. Then he writes and she goes, why doesn't this phone number work? And he's like, oh, I'm traveling. I work for an oil company. It's always an oil company. That gives him reasons to be in Africa. And so there's always an excuse why the phone number doesn't work. She says, how about email? And he writes back, email address too long for text. But she's pushing, and because she knows, she's got a really good suspicion that this person's a fake. I want to know a little about the person before I meet them. For all I know, Andrew isn't your real name, and that's someone else's photo. And look, he supports that. It's good. You're a woman. You should always know a guy before you meet them. Again, he's playing into her psychology. Yeah. So here, she's going to pull out, she's got the bomb. Why are you using someone else's photo? I know this is not you. It was taken in Iceland, and that gentleman in the photo is named Alan. He's like, very funny. That's not me. He's like, I'll Skype you right now. We know how Skype works, right? And I like this. And who in God's name is Alan? So she was armed with information.
She was very cautious.
She was very cautious.
I don't know if he had been someone else, he would have, fallen to his tricks.
Well, and do you want to be, suspicious of everybody that you meet online? Do you want to assume that they're a fake identity? And we get loaded with things because we actually, we do want to meet people and connect, especially if, and they actually, look for specific things. They will look through Facebook and social media for people whose relationship status has changed, people who have publicly said, I'm going through a divorce or I've lost you know, a partner. And so they look for vulnerable people. And there's a lot of, we're all vulnerable in some ways, but they actually are, again, preying on the psychology. So I love this. You know, she's pushing him, and he probably knows that the game is over, you know. You know, what's your game? What are you looking for? And I love this. And he's like, you know, he said, that's why I don't share my photos, because there's all these people out there that are going to steal them to make a fake identity. So I really appreciated the fact that she shared this, and that she was actually a little aggressive with this person. So, you know, again, we like to not worry about this stuff. We like to be protected, and so we could actually go online and not have to think about the fact that there are people who are not who they seem, etc. And so, you know, one of the things that people will say is, well, Alan, it's your fault. You know, this looks like I have like 40,000 photos in Flickr, and maybe 2% or 1% are me, but I do have pictures of myself in different places online. And so one response would be like, well, if you didn't have pictures of yourself online, then this wouldn't happen to you. And that kind of could make sense. But on the other hand, and this is my theory, is because there are so many pictures of me online, I'm easy to find. And because I've written about this on my blog, people will find those pictures and me writing about those pictures. So it helps people when they get suspicious of Harry or Mark or John, whatever, because I have this information of myself out there. If I really... Now, the thing is, also, my identity has not been stolen. Like, and some people say, that's terrible. Someone stole your identity. They didn't steal my identity. I'm still me. I have 12 years of my blog. I've got 10 years of Flickr photos. I have my own presence firmly seated on the internet. It's not hard to find me. So they're not stealing my identity. And I've not really lost anything. You know, someone who actually has their trust betrayed, they've lost something a lot more than me. So I'm not bothered by... I'm more curious, and I think it's weird that this happens. But it's not like anything has been stolen from me. But I do... I relentlessly pursue them. And so I will spend a lot of time trying to track these down or report them, etc. And to make it an example for other people. So the fact that you can find things... means that hopefully online we can still enjoy all these things for their positive benefits, but not be completely blind to some of these possibilities, and that we have we don't have to just rely on what Facebook and Twitter and Google will do for us in terms of their systems, is that we have some resources and tools and each other that we can leverage to sort of still participate in this and hopefully not be fooled. So that's my little world of catfishing. You know, Facebook is aware of fraudulent accounts. There was a thing that happened 2 years ago, and they deleted, like, I read some number, like 700,000 fake accounts. And so there are multiple reasons why people would create fake accounts. Some reason just to boost social media standing. Someone did send me a link. It leads to a YouTube video, which leads to a Russian website. And they claim that for $5, they will create 20 fake Facebook accounts for you instantly. For $5. I've been thinking about trying it just to curiosity to see how it works. So there are people...
You can create the same accounts.
Well, I mean, Facebook makes it hard. You have to, they're asking for more things to prove your identity. So you can't use the same email. They're going to ask for your phone number. You know, their public message is that only real people are on Facebook. But, you know, from what I've seen, there's not a lot. And it's not just Facebook. This is rampant on LinkedIn. This is really bad, of course, on the dating websites, you know. Everything from, you know, match to whatever name your whatever dating site. And so, you know, that's a place where I think people generally are going to be a little bit more cautious about who they sort of, you know, make a trust in to actually make a connection with and eventually meet. But still, I think, you know, you may need to consider some of these other possibilities in this space. And just like in general, like, be wary of things that just don't seem to match up. Sometimes it's their language. Usually their command of English is usually pretty poor. They have poor grammar. The fact that the people who fake my accounts seem to work for oil companies, again, because if they do actually give you a phone number, chances are it's going to be a number in Africa. And so there has to be a reason why Roderick Henderson is always calling me from Africa, or, you know, why he's been professing his love and he always has an excuse that he's not going to visit me because, oh, his ex-wife is asking for money or his work is too busy. So, you know, there, some of these patterns just may start to not make sense. And the more aware you can be of this, again, hopefully with not thinking everybody you meet online is a fake.
So you said, Alan, that there is a sort of a syndicate of people working.
I've heard, I can't remember, some people said it, some are from Ghana. There have been a couple people that have tried to, there was a Wired article that actually managed to interview someone who used to work for one of these operations.
It's like the famous scam from Angola or the letter.
Nigeria. Yeah,
scam, yeah.
Yeah. You still get the emails like, you know, I'm the heir of Prince Buddha. Can you help me, you know, transfer $3 million? And so some of those are easy to spot. But then there's all the phishing emails where it looks like an email coming from Apple or your bank, and it says, you know, please click this link to you know, verify your password or to check. There's been an unusual withdrawal from your bank account. And of course your first reaction is going to be like, oh my gosh. And if you do not actually hover and look at where the link is going, the message that you get in your email looks like an official. They can actually replicate the look of an official organization, but the link goes to some other strange site. But most ordinary people, they don't really look too closely at URLs to know that that's not Amazon.com. It's something, you know, .ru/something or another. And so it's easy to get fooled, and you know, smart people get fooled quite a lot of this.
And since the world is huge, I guess that to send a letter to a million people is pretty feasible.
Yeah, I mean, you need like probably a tenth of a percent of success with these scams to actually make some money. There's another one I read about recently that was able to get someone's personal information. They went to Amazon and did the live chat with their customer support. And so they were able to get this man's, I think, his credit card information by first identifying his name and his address and his phone number, which is easy information to get in public. And more or less, a lot of the exploits that happen don't have to do with technology. It happens when you call on the phone. And they use,
social
engineering, where they just use the fact that people on the other end of the line are people, and they come up with some story like, oh, I really can't find my password for my account, or something. And they manage most of the breaks are through social engineering.
Yeah. So those fake accounts were deleted, not by Facebook, by the themselves?
No, Facebook eventually deleted them. Yeah. They will delete them at some point. I just had trouble with mine, and the fact that I got the, you know, my account taken down, because I, you know, thought I was smart and friending, you know, one of these fakers. They ended up reporting me, and it took 2 weeks to get my account reestablished.
You could be a Russian embedded agent.
I am.
Yeah, so...
I actually am. I'm here to take over Puerto Rico. No.
How long did it take to, you know, that process of Facebook?
It took 2 weeks.
To delete the profiles?
Oh, no, to delete the profiles? The first ones were... It was inconsistent. Sometimes it was a day. Sometimes it was 3 days. And so sometimes the only thing I could do was ask my friends through Twitter or Facebook to say, can you please report this? And I think if there are multiple reports... Again, no one at Facebook explains how they deal with the reports. You can't call up Facebook and say, exactly how are you dealing with this situation? Because there's no one you can call. You can't ask Facebook about what they're doing about this situation.
Maybe they care more about the connections rather than the quantity of profiles. Maybe if you have like 5 fake profiles, but none of those profiles has any friends, then those profiles, they don't really matter.
Yeah.
At all.
But and yeah,
that's why you're saying that if you have another friend that is reporting that profile, then that's more valuable than having the profile by itself.
Well, and the reporting options are a little bit weird. I mean, you can report them for being an imposter. I tried to report one of them for, there's a place you can say, for their use of an image. But when I went to report it, it says, because I'm not connected with them, I couldn't report them. So that seemed odd to me. But the last few, again, because I reluctantly started friending more people on Facebook, who I know, when they reported them, and because we were connected on Facebook, they could say, this is my person. And again, because I was not very active in Facebook, my account might look suspicious because I don't have many, I don't update my last status is like, I'm not updating my status. And yeah, you know, the only thing I do is I upload pictures of these fake accounts. And so, again, I feel like, you know, and then, you know, someone tagged me in a photo and then she was like, oh, you have to go in and change your settings to approve things that get tagged in your wall. It's like, I don't want to use Facebook. And so everything that Facebook does makes me do more things in Facebook. It's really, it's clever, kind of evil design. So
what can I do to minimize the risk? How can I know, for instance, if somebody's using some image of myself?
How can you? There's no way you can find them.
No way.
Generally, the only way I found them is when people tell me, do you know, again, I found this account, there's something about it that didn't seem right. I looked up the photo image and I found you. And again, because I have myself in a lot of places, and so does my friend Alec, it's easy to find. He says he gets about 4 emails a day.
A day.
He's more handsome. He's got a lot of photos. He's got young kids, and so, and he takes a lot of pictures of him with his kids in the park, or there's a lot of pictures of him, like, he travels a lot, waving goodbye to his kids at the airport. And you think how you can use those in sort of a fake profile, you know, because you can play on people's emotions, like, you know, my ex-wife is trying to take my kids from me. This is my last time I saw them leaving on a plane or something like that. So those are strong emotions that you can, it's social engineer that you can tap into people's emotions and get past their reason. There was one picture he had where someone had photoshopped his face inside of a guy in a full body cast. And so, you know, again, I've been injured. This is why I can't come see you. Because I fell off a mountain. You know, and in some ways, there's a lot of creative media going on.
A lot of pain to go through.
Yeah.
For the fakers.
Yeah.
But then you can get money.
But, I mean, I might get some money in one case out of 1,000, perhaps. So there should be a very low rate of return.
But you just need a little bit of return.
Well, you can make bots. Automatic bots that makes all those fake profiles.
You can make bots. And there are some, I put some links. You can find these episodes. And I saw a story in what's the UK tabloid, the Globe and Mail. You know, this one went on Dr. Phil and said that she had sent over $1 million.
No.
Yeah, and the number I read that came out of report. Yeah, there's a report from AARP, the Retirement Association, that said like in 2015 that people lost something like $87 million to romance scams. $87 million.
Worldwide.
In the U.S. In the U.S.
Yeah.
Oh, America's the target.
So it's a huge business.
It's a huge business, yeah.
Dumb and rich.
What?
Dumb and rich.
Dumb and rich? They're not always dumb people. They're honestly people who...
Naive.
I mean, I've fallen for some things where I, in hindsight, I'm like, how did you not know that this was, you know, a fake? And so we're human.
Yeah.
And especially.
But if someone asks for money, I think that's the bottom.
That's when you start to.
But that's
you know,
but
okay,
you. But me, as a predator who wants money, I'm gonna touch you on your emotional part. So you actually like open for me. So then I just catch you there, and then you ask you for money. That's how politics and religion is.
It's better. Maybe they make a good selection of people.
Well, by the time, I mean, you think about if we have chats online. You know, I've chatted for people for hours.
Yes.
And if you do that night after night, and you spend weeks to months doing this, and then at some point just this little thing gets slipped in, I mean, at some point you've already bought into, like, this feels real. And so when the person presents this situation of, the only thing that's keeping me from being with you forever, Doorbell, is I have to sell my business here, my shipping business, and I'm really in a tight spot. And if you can just lend me this small amount of money, I will be in your arms, you know. And so at that point, it's already believable because of the buildup of conversations over time and time.
And you get used to talking online every day, so when you get to see this fake profile, we will see actually automatically that it's just another one, another real person.
Well, honestly, because so many more people, and people are new to being online, and it's become, you know, the joke about, you know, your grandmother friending you on Facebook. I mean, there are a lot of people who are online who don't have a lot of online literacy.
Yeah, it depends. Like, for example, I don't know. I'm going to use my mom as an example. She's not really good with technology. And she's always like, did you see this friend request I got on Facebook? Because I got access to her Facebook because she needs help.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, oh, that's my brother. And then we called him. Yeah, did you made a Facebook account? And he's like, no. I didn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what happens. Like, I think it'll be harder for me to fall into those things because I know more.
Yeah,
and I know
sure.
when to recognize when it's fake or not.
Yeah.
But if it's her, I know they will catch her, you know. Because she won't recognize it.
Yeah, one of the ones that Alec talked about, the fake account not only created a fake persona with Alec's photo in it, they had gone and found images of his brother and his mother, and they made two more accounts of a fake brother and a fake mother, and then you see that these people are having an interchange.
So it's like a group of people.
If they're having a conversation, that makes them look realistic.
Yeah.
You know, and even they used a picture of his father's funeral as part of this kind of whole fake narrative. So it's pretty sophisticated.
Yes.
So stalking scheme.
There's a part of the sophistication that like impresses me. I mean, the fake Skype thing is like, I would never imagine that someone would project a video in Skype and be able to convince me that I'm having a conversation with someone.
And what would the amount of more company they're asking? It's in the thousands? It's not for $100.
It's not worth buying.
Hey, it's, I don't know the numbers, but you could easily, like, they might be happy if they can get $3,000 for a plane fare, supposedly. Of course, they want more, you know.
And if it's in another country, you know, we have lotteries where you don't see that much, but in another country,
exactly.
A lot of money.
And
if they ask me about
loss of $3,000.
And you have to think, if I'm in poverty in a part of the world where there's no opportunity for me, it doesn't take much to probably rationalize to say, look, and this other world that I don't know in the West, they have so much money, and we have none.
I'm not killing anybody.
Yeah. So what's the harm in me just?
So,
I mean, it's just, I mean, why, you know, people who do, you know, the card games on the street, you know.
Yeah. But it doesn't make sense because if they don't have any, I mean, they can get access to computers and anything, but if they don't have any opportunities, how they can have computers and internet?
Because it's a whole scheme that there are people at the top who set up maybe a warehouse somewhere, an office, and they hire these people to do the grunt work.
And
maybe the people just get a very small part of the money.
It's a
scheme for us. It's like that. They get paid. Like Link Farms. It's more or less the same. People get paid to post comments, post blog posts just to put links on them, or just to
do a lot of fake status messages or comment posts, so it improves the standing of them in web rankings and Google.
It's weird. And I mean, with the plane ticket, if somebody asked me, I'm in an emergency, give me the money for a plane ticket, I would say I will buy the plane ticket. I will not send the money.
Well, you're smarter. There's a common...
There's ways you can help.
Yeah.
But don't send money.
Well, you know, there's this scam. In fact, it happened to a good friend of mine. She was my advisor when I was in the PhD program.
It's not always a she.
But Sue's very smart, and so I got this email, and this is very common, where they'll hack someone's email account and send to everybody in their address book, and it's something like, I'm so sorry to bother you, Antonio, but I'm on this trip in Ireland, and all my identification have been stolen. My luggage has been stolen, and I need help getting home. You know, can you get me some money? That's very believable, especially because it's coming from Sue, who I know, and her email address. But sometimes just the way they're written.
Yes, but it's very weird if Antonio writes an email to me in English or something like that.
Well, yeah, they would scam you in Spanish.
But in a different Spanish, not the Spanish I would speak or I would write. Because in Spanish there are different ways. You can identify the Mexican Spanish and the Puerto Rican Spanish and the, I don't know, Colombian Spanish, and it's different.
I get that, but I think
you can get it.
That can get clouded when just the first thing you realize is, oh my God, my friend Antonio is in trouble somewhere. Yeah. Some of that judgment.
My friend Antonio is in trouble somewhere, but my friend Antonio is speaking like that. So I would be asking different questions, or I would be connecting with Antonio, or I would.
We can make a challenge, Antonio, to see which student can fool doorbell.
Well, these are fascinating.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff, and bizarre, as you say, and it's fascinating for me to see how far psychologically one person can go
yeah.
it's fascinating because the human mind is very.
I think there are lots of people living alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Lonely people. There are lots of.
There are a lot of them.
And that's the target. I think that's the target. And maybe some people are willing to pay for that company.
Yes.
So it's not, they don't feel so much at the end. Well, maybe you can feel that you were used, but then you say, well, I was receiving something.
And there is very nice people. And a lot of these things can really happen. I have a personal story. My grandmother was so naive that she was approached on the street by two men, very well dressed, with jacket, with tie, and they made a huge story that she could help them, and they would help her back, and they convinced her to climb into their car. Okay.
Yeah.
So she climbed into their car and went to her bank. To the bank director, and the bank director gave her $1,000, and she gave $1,000.
It was just a scandal.
And then my mother was so crazy at her. She said, "How did you dare to do it?" But she was really nice.
Yeah, well, so, scams have been around longer than the internet.
Great.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. I think the fishing metaphor works really well because.
Yeah.
You can go very slow. You are fishing with little bait at the end.
Yeah.
I have received some friend requests by people I don't know, and we don't have any common friends, so I don't friend them. But maybe they are looking for women, or I don't know.
Well, then there's also people who just, their accounts look better if they have more friends. So there's social media gaming that goes on as well. So it's not all scam. But you're in this bind of like, what if I refuse to friend to someone who actually is a friend? And what message am I sending? So is it better just to push the doubt aside?
I don't friend anyone I don't know.
Really? I'm going to friend you on Facebook.
Well, I know.
No, it's going to be Rhonda Kenderson. Or Gary Glower, or Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, it would be interesting to do a research project impersonating a fake identity.
Well, I mentioned that.
That professor.
Yeah, well.
In trouble.
You can get into some ethical issues because.
You're not behaving well. Just for research.
I agree. It's interesting, but there's some.
There's a line. I don't think you can cross the line.
Yeah.
Just for research.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.